Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vincent the Bay.
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 Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Check 1, 2, test 1, 2, 3. Hello. Hey. Deputy check.
Vince in the Bay.
Vince in the Bay.
Vince in the Gay or what?
Vince in the Bay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, 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 everybody. Vincent the motherfucking Bay. Back in this for another edition of Friday. Very special episode. We are expecting a special guest tonight. And hopefully he will be joining us shortly. Talking about filmmaker Brian Knappenberger. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm sure he'll correct me if I'm not. Brian Knappenberger is the filmmaker who just finished a film that's hot off the festival circuit called We Are Legion, The Story of the Hacktivists. And we're going to talk to Brian about the film, which is going to be released next week. And you are welcome to call in and ask Brian anything you want about the film and whatever else is on your mind. The lines are always open. And I will... hopefully have a lot of help in questioning Brian. I have not seen the entire film, but I've been getting good reviews from the people that have checked it out. I've seen clips, and there's also a I'm sorry, Vert. What do you mean, what the fuck? Am I choppy again? Oh, my God. Are you serious? Am I Patriot Gregging? Do my homework. Okay. Yeah, I... Right. Good. Yeah, let me know if there's any problem. Sometimes I've been Patriot Gregging a lot lately on the show. So feel free to let me know if I'm breaking up. And if it gets really bad, I'll just call in on my phone. But hopefully it's not going to be too bad. So anyways, it's still technically Three Ball Friday. And, of course, I am not wearing any underpants on this broadcast. And you shouldn't either. It's required on this program to not wear underpants. It's Free Ball Friday. Anyhoot, I'm going to give a quick shout-out to all the early chit-chatters. Shouts out to a non-sicko, especially a non-sicko who's been very helpful in helping spreading the word about this program. I really appreciate it. Also, there's a late-night BTR election going on, and Anon Sicko has been one of my main supporters. Really appreciate that. Book of Knowledge in the house, BTR Admin Moonman. Thank you for joining us. It's good we have some BTR admins in the house, just in case things get out of hand in the chat room. Dougie Doug in the house, GU357 in the chat room. Kamonra, welcome to the show. Mary Mad in the house. Mary Mad has been too busy with her social life to join us, and I'm glad she's graced us with her presence tonight. Ms. Becker in the building. Hello, Ms. Becker. Melissa, 13 in the house. Melissa, I feel your pain. The A's couldn't quite pull it off. The magic just could only last so long. Also, who else do we have in here? Quinoga. Small Affairs, Velton. Hey, Velton. Long time no see, Velton. Old listener of the program. Bert. And rounding it out in the chat room, X-Knight. There you have it. Okay, kids, oh my God, the switchboard is lighting up. I'm going to take a quick little break here to screen calls and come back, hopefully with Brian and your calls at 347-826-7667. And it's Free Ball Friday, so that can mean only one thing.
All right, from the top, free balling. She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus and America too. She's got big tits, crazy about humping. She loves bareback and a vibrator too. It's a long day living in the Bay. It's a long day, 'cause I got a big penis. There's a hippie running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for wearing no underpants, 'cause I'm free, free balling. Yes, I'm free, free ballin'. Yes, I'm free, free ballin'. That's right, I'm wearing any underpants tonight, kids. I hope you aren't either. That's because I'm free. Free. freeballing. That's when you're wearing pants with no underpants. Try it sometime. Enjoy it. Be liberated.
Sam, then I fly away but I face Mary Ann. Even if I think they wanna know my mind, but there's a place when I can make them blind.
I'm no one for them, I'm a patient play. They can be my friends, but they always do my trade. Thanks a lot like me and it's time to be united and show them what together means.
We are anonymous, we lay John, we don't forget. We are anonymous, we don't forget.
Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Give us a call, bitches. 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Crap, I was muted that whole fucking time. It's internet radio. What do you want? You guys just missed a great little segue introduction by me, and I'm not going to repeat it. I was fucking muted. Anyway, thank you all for joining me. We have a very exciting show. I have a fantastical guest tonight. He's a filmmaker, and he has a documentary about hacktivism and the hacktivist collective known as Anonymous. And it's due to hit theaters, I believe, next week. And I'm very, very grateful to have him as a guest tonight. And hopefully we'll talk about the film, talk about hacktivism, talk about Anonymous, and take your calls and whatever's on your mind, whatever you want to ask Brian. I'm sure, hopefully, that he will acquiesce and answer them. So without further ado, Brian, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Totally. How you doing?
Oh, good. Cool. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great. Great to have you on the show.
I tweeted earlier, I have arrived. I'm on Vince in the Bay tonight.
Yeah, that's right. You know you've made it on the internet once you've been a guest.
Right,
on the show. Great to have you here, and I'm really excited to see this film that's going to come out next week. Glad to have you here to share some of that knowledge about the film with us tonight.
Totally.
And before we get into talking about the film, I'm curious about you. I wonder if you could just give us a quick little back story on you and your career as a filmmaker and whatever projects you might have had leading up to this.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I've been making documentaries for a while now. I started as a long time ago as a still photographer. And then I started, you know, working as a cinematographer for a while, making films. And I just sort of started making my own documentaries about, I guess it was like 12 or 13 years ago. And I made a film called Into the Body about technology and machines moving into the human body and sort of changing who we are as a species. Technology generally, like things like genetic engineering, things like that. And how they were kind of altering what it meant to be a human being. And it was my first film. And it played a couple festivals. And then National Geographic said that we really liked one of the stories in it, which was the story of this rock climber who had had this unbelievably awful accident where he lost his legs to frostbite, but had returned to rock climbing by fashioning his own prosthetic limbs that were, you know, specifically designed for small rock ledges the width of a dime, or, you know, he had feet with fangs for ice climbing. He made himself like 10 feet tall because, you know, if you're making your own legs, why not? You know, so I did that for National Geographic. And I guess my filmmaking career sort of has just been one project after another that I felt really passionate about and that I care about and I think is important to share with people. I've done two documentaries now for PBS Frontline, one about Afghanistan, one about the killing of a journalist in Ukraine, what it seems like by the old president, the ex-president there, President Kuchma. So, you know, my work is often about technology. It's often about freedom of speech. It's often about human rights. That's my basic background.
Nice. All those titles sound very intriguing. I think I'm going to have to. Are those titles available on, like, Netflix or something?
No, not a lot of them. You know, I don't know where the two front lines, the two PBS front lines, are available on their website, actually. They're short. They're probably 45-minute versions of the film, but they're both good versions of the film on the PBS Frontline website. The one about the murdered journalist is really interesting. Yeah, it involves, you know, secret tapes. You know, one of President Kuchma's bodyguards came forward and revealed that he had been taping the president for like 2 years. Everybody suspected that the president had something to do with the killing of this journalist that was sort of beating this drum against the regime and was trying to, it's just not very, it wasn't a healthy thing to criticize the president, let's just say that. Everybody suspected that Kuchma killed him, but had no proof. And then this guy came forward, this bodyguard came forward and says, well, I've been audio taping the president for about 2 years, and I have this really interesting 17-minute segment where, every other word's a cuss word, and he's talking about taking off all his clothes, throwing him in the forest, letting the Chechens have him right during this war. And the country kind of erupted in revolt, in revolution. And it's one of a series of events that led to the Orange Revolution in Ukraine. So that's an interesting story.
Wow. But we do, I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, I've got a lot of stories about technology, too, including...
Is that kind of a common thread throughout all your work?
Technology? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've done documentaries about Steve Jobs, we've done a documentary about Mark Zuckerberg, things like that, too.
Nice. With all that as a background, what had you known previously to making this film about hacktivism, and what was it that made you decide to make this?
Well, I knew a little bit about some of the groups like in the 90s before I started this, and I was kind of aware of hacker communities in general, sort of, for a while, but I had no idea about Anonymous or 4chan or anything like that, but before they attacked the Church of Scientology in 2008. So for me, this was a really, really interesting, really bizarre scene. And I live in LA, right? So, and those activities, those raids were really intense in LA, because Scientology is so intense in LA. And this was a religion created by a science fiction author being protested by people wearing masks created by a science fiction author, like kind of a strange scene. So I was instantly intrigued, and I thought about making a film back then, although it was more focused, it was sort of through this anonymous activity, what was going on with Scientology. But then I just set it aside, put it on the shelf for a while, and then paid attention to what Anonymous was doing in between. I made the mistake, like Gabriella Coleman, actually. She felt the same way that I thought Anonymous would always be a Scientology-only protest group. And then suddenly, of course, in December of 2010, they roar into action again when WikiLeaks cut off, when MasterCard Visa and PayPal cut off.
The PayPal 14.
Yes. So that makes me think that was very different than Scientology. It was, it was similar in really interesting ways. So I just decided I'm gonna just start documenting this, and I basically started making a film around that period of time.
Yeah, I actually, the first time I ran into you outside of the courthouse in San Jose, as you were interviewing people, that was, and a lot of that footage ended up being in the film.
Wait, you ran into me during that time?
Yeah. Yeah. I was in the courthouse, on the day of the arraignment. I actually sat next to Mercedes for the whole time that she was in the courthouse. I was like sitting, I saw you guys there. I think you guys were like in the same row as me, like a couple of seats down.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it was you, or there was a little bit of press. It wasn't very heavily covered, actually. I was kind of surprised at that.
Salini from New York Times was there, who's actually become pretty good friends. I think she's a pretty good reporter on Anonymous. But and there was a local newscaster there, and that was it.
Yeah, Channel 7, and she was clueless. Like, I think she might have been the one. Somebody asked me if I was one of the defendants or whatever, and I was like, no, I'm press, I'm internet press, just checking out the scene, and but I told her the whole lowdown on everything, And so her report was basically probably built off a lot of my just my observations and knowledge. That was a strange scene. I got there early to make sure I could get a seat, and I didn't even wait outside. I just waited in the lobby outside the courtroom door. And I remember they had extra security come out. They had like extra federal marshals called in because they thought there was going to be a protest, which ended up being like one kid. And it was funny. I was
true.
Just hanging out in the lobby there, and all the regular building security, these old timers, you know, probably ex military, you know, just working a little bit more till they can get their pension, you know, good old school boys. They were joking about it. They're like, "Oh, Twitter says there's going to be something like over 9,000 protesters," and they're like, "Yeah, it looks like." Yeah, this is a little bit of overkill here. They even thought that the extra security was just ridiculous. They were joking about that. They're like, "This is just stupid. I mean, this is a bunch of kids doing a white collar crime. This is dumb."
Yeah, totally. I remember calling because I was trying hard, and actually, I kind of still am to even though the film's done, but to film inside. I was trying to film inside the courtroom, and so I had kind of called around a little bit, trying to find out how or if I could do that. I was kind of late in the process. I mean, there's a strong case to be made that those things should be open to the public, and they're international. You know, they're kind of it's an international sort of situation. So how can people access the courtroom, right? So my argument was, look, you know, you should allow cameras in there. That didn't really work out, but along the lines of what you were just saying. The guy said, "Well, we suspect that some of the same protesters that were involved with the Op Bart situation might be coming down here today." I always thought that was funny. Like, yeah, I think it might be something. Yeah, it might be similar. Like they had gotten some kind of inside scoop.
There were, to be honest, I recall that there were flyers made up that were passed around, but. I think it was just bunk doses. There was nothing. There was like one kid, and he wasn't really protesting. He was more of a groupie, really. He just wanted to meet the kids as they came out of the court. I got to meet a few of them, and all the ones I met seemed like pretty good natured, you know, everyday people that, you know, they didn't seem like criminals to me. But whatever. Yeah, so that kind of when I saw the trailer and watched some of the clips, I noticed that a lot of the footage was shot in the Bay Area. Actually, it looks like there was a good chunk shot in outside that courtroom, and a good chunk shot at Op Bart.
Yep, both. We shot quite a bit there. Did we talk when I did we meet then?
Yeah, I talked to you for like a second. I think you might have asked me like if I was press or who I was or whatever, because in those settings you kind of don't know who's who, and it's just kind of funny. But I got to meet Owen and Triv and Mercedes.
Yeah,
and the other person I met
Josh
was Josh, who
correct.
Was I'm trying to think of his nickname. His he was
I think it's Shadowfly, right?
Is it Shadowfly? I thought it was.
At the time, no, Absalom.
Let me find it. I did a blog on it. Let me try my blog really quick. It'll tell me.
Are you thinking of Absalom?
I might want to say like multiple nicknames, but Toxic. That's what it was. Toxic.
Yes.
Josh was Toxic.
Yeah.
No, not Shutterfly. Shutterfly is a cheesy internet scrapbooking bullshit company. So, yeah, anyway, if you're just joining us, it's Vincent the Bay here with Brian. He's the filmmaker behind We Are Legion, the story of the hacktivists It's a documentary that takes a dive into the inside world of Anonymous, the radical hacktivist collective that has redefined civil disobedience for the digital age. I love that. That's the thing that I love about the that attracted me to Anonymous as well, because I definitely got wrapped up in some of the Operation BART stuff. That was pretty exciting and I think a worthy cause. I like the angle of civil disobedience and doing it in a digital way, doing it online, doing it, you know, cyber civil disobedience, if you will.
That's one of the big points of the film, and one of the reasons actually why I made the film. I mean, I think that some of those people that you just mentioned, PayPal 14, you know, the Anonymous 16, are redefining protest, essentially. I mean, we all live online now. This is where we exist. So, you know, how do we take these kind of like traditional values, freedom of speech, you know, the right to protest, assembly, things like that, and how do we suture those into the skin of a digital age? How do we make sure that those things remain alive and possible for us? So I think that the Anonymous 16, you know, I sort of see them as the kind of first wave of defining that, right? They're all being hit with these rather intense prison sentences, 15 years and $250,000 fines, right? But, you know, that's just a blanket kind of conspiracy to cause damage to a protected computer system, without a kind of carve out or an acknowledgement that this is a kind of protest. This is a freedom of speech protest. This is something that people are saying, you know, look, PayPal, we don't like you. We don't like what you did. We don't think it's right for you to have cut off financial services. So we're going to register we're not breaking in. We're not stealing credit card numbers. We're going to register our displeasure and with your actions. Since we can't, by the way, go to a brick-and-mortar store, that's not how it works, right? We're going to register by doing this action. So I think there needs to be some kind of allowance for that. And it does seem like that specific thing, civil disobedience, in a kind of digital age, you know, I think we're going to witness the defining of those boundaries with those cases.
Oh, yeah, I think that's going to totally set precedent. I see it as a white-collar crime. I think it should be more or less a slap on the wrist, something, you know, like a fine and maybe community service or something like that. But some of these people, there's the possibility of like 20 to 30 years or something, or some of them it's in the hundreds. And I just think that doesn't fit the crime. I believe they need to be punished, because that's the whole point of civil disobedience, is you're purposely breaking the law to make a point. But I see this as the equivalent of this sort of activism as the equivalent of, you know, them people going into like the Occupy people, where they just went into a Bank of America and just did a sit-in, just sat on the floor. Indian style, and waited for the cops to come in and get them. You know, I think, you know, they should get the same sort of, you know, just like a misdemeanor type of thing. You know, I see it as the digital equivalent of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I agree that maybe, you know, it should be illegal. I mean, these kinds of sentences are completely out of control. But, you know, denial of service is not something that you can kind of like uncritically embrace at the same time, because, you know, it's a neutral tool, right? It's not, governments have used it against NGOs that they don't like to shut them down. You know, the Jester, for instance, has used it against WikiLeaks, right? It's a neutral tool. It's a tool for shutting down websites. So it should be, you know, I certainly don't make the case that it should be, you know, just legal. But I do think there should be a kind of carve out for protest that falls under a kind of protected First Amendment activity. When something is obviously a protest, you know, that needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, everybody, I've got the man, Brian, director of We Are Legion, The Story of Anonymous. He's with me here tonight. We're talking about hacktivism and Anonymous and whatnot. Brian, we got a lot of callers that want to probably chime in and ask you questions. So I think we're going to take a quick break, listen to the trailer for the film We Are Legion, and come back with your calls at 347-826-7667. VITB, right back with you. Stick around.
The computer hacker group Anonymous is claiming tonight that it took down the website of the Federal Appeals Court in San Francisco this afternoon.
They took down Senate.gov servers. They've taken down H.B. Gary. Sony's claiming they did $150 million worth of damage.
So many confidential files that tonight, because of these hackers, can be in the hands of anyone.
Visa, MasterCard, the PayPal situation.
The criminals who hacked into Sarah Palin's private email.
The Church of Scientology says Anonymous is a cyber terrorist group of religious bigots.
Anonymous and this other group called Lulz Sec. They seem to be wanting to prove a point.
Anonymous kind of was like the big, strong, buff kid who had low self-esteem. And then all of a sudden punched somebody in the face and was like, holy shit, I'm really strong. Anonymous calls itself the final boss of the internet, and sometimes it proves to be really fucking true. You are going to violate the freedoms of the internet, you certainly better watch the fuck out.
They are kind of the rude boys in activism. There's a real rough edge to them, which I think also is one reason why they garner so much love and hate from people, too. They represent a certain sort of chaotic freedom.
The hacker ethos has a passion for truth. It wants what's real to be out there. And it uses kind of the Philip K. Dick definition of reality. And reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, refuses to go away.
We stand for freedom. We stand for freedom of speech, the power of the people, the ability for them to protest against the government, to right wrongs. No censorship, especially online, but also in real life.
We have members throughout society and all stratas of it worldwide, yet we have no leadership.
It's a one voice. It's not individual voices. That's why we don't show our faces. That's why we don't give our names. We're speaking as one, and it's a collective. Good timing.
So the FBI shows up at 6 in the morning and they drag me out into the cold, and there's guns and a little LED flashlight in the vest. It was really obnoxious. You so much as sneeze on someone's tablet and the government's not happy about it, then you're a hacker.
There's people that are dying for a flag, and they're being like, and maybe it's time for a new law. If I get the chance to do that, then so be it. And if 14 other people that are with me get the chance to do it, then so be it.
You want to see Anonymous rise up? Try to shut down the message. Try to squash the message. Try to chill our speech. Then you'll see what Anonymous can do.
Right now, you could argue that the most powerful people on Earth are a bunch of nameless, faceless 17 to 35-year-olds. It's like the hacker ruling class, right?
It's my community. It's my culture. I identify with Anonymous.
Whether they had a tiny, tiny part, whether they had a substantive part in the Arab Spring or toppling Tunisia and Egypt, Egyptian government, individual, young, nameless, faceless folks are having geopolitical impact. It's both exhilarating to realize that and terrifying to realize that. It kind of depends on how that power is wielded.
We are Legion. We do not forget.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
For the nigger who be talking loud at home.
sucking his dick, talking shit. He better lay low. For the bitch that said I got some shit up out of my dick, now she's sick. She better lay low. For the niggas who be claiming my hood and really ain't for my gang, better lay low. I hope he don't be thinking I'm just talking and I won't do a thing. Really hope so.
Aw, yeah. It's the Vince in the Bay Orchestra, everybody. Give it up. This is how we do it. This is how we do. Aw, yes. It's Steve Weierman on guitar. Booyah on the bass. Jason on the and we got Mike on the keys. Anyway, thank you for joining me tonight. My special guest tonight is the filmmaker, director of We Are Legion, The Story of the Hacktivist. It's Brian Knappenberger. And we're going to take calls for Brian now. We've got a switchboard that is just lit up like a Christmas tree. And we're going to try to get through all these calls. We're still in the first hour. If you're listening, please do me a favor and tweet out the show. We've got a good turnout tonight so far. We've got about 30 users. Who've been listening. We got a ton of callers. Get the word out. There's a little, if you'll notice, right underneath the graphic for the show, there's Facebook and Twitter buttons, Google Plus, I think, as well. Feel free to peruse those and select the appropriate one for you and spread the love of VITB. Shouts out to 6-7th, Australia listening. Nice. Don't you just love the internet? It's worldwide, baby. Okay, I'm going to bring back on Brian and take some calls here. Let's see. We have one of our resident all-time favorite old fags, Mr. Opnopro. Opnopro, you're on with Brian. What's up?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Opnopro. What's happening?
Well, you know, I see you earlier today, and I see you again tonight. I can't get rid of you.
How you doing?
Good. Good. Stat said thank you for the meeting, by the way.
Yep.
It was really nice. I have some questions.
Yeah.
I was curious about what your favorite parts of your documentary are, in through your eyes.
Some of my favorite parts?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, non-history it has so many interesting, like, wild kind of elements to it that it's like impossible to pick a favorite. I mean, I don't mean to like dodge it, but I really like it when it's I really like it when, you know, Hal Turner kind of comes in and the tone sort of changes a little bit. You know, and they start talking about Hal Turner and, you know, and just the kind of discussion that was going on behind the scenes around them and that period of time that led up to Scientology. And one moment that really sticks out for me is the moment that's just after the kind of Scientology section where everybody's talking about these raids that they did all over the world, right? 142 cities, over 10,000 people, for real, all over the world came out for these protests. And Mike Vitale, Seth dude, says,
sure.
You know, look, this is the first time we all met each other, right? Because before that, we're just an online community, right? You were just kind of, you know, by yourself until you got to 4chan. And then suddenly everybody, you know, thought like you did. And now, you know, you're on the streets together and you're actually meeting each other and you know you know the same jokes, you know the same language, you're there for the same reasons. It's like your, you know, Vendetta says in the movie, it's like your family, but, you know, you've just never met before. And one of my favorite lines of the movie is Seth dude says, just simply, you meet your own people, finally.
Right.
And it was a really, I think that's a really interesting and to me a very kind of moving moment. That so many people could kind of know each other, but then not know each other really, and then materialize all in one, you know, very surprising kind of day, and become known to each other. It's a very
right.
I think it's a very modern communal moment that it's really hard to find something that's similar to that in history.
A lot of us are quite close, you know, we talked about that when I first met you, and we were talking again just about the people in general. You know, I never introduced myself as Opno Pro. I was Barry, and I said, I'm going to do this completely open and completely fresh. You know?
Yeah.
And so, because I believe that transparency is a requirement of anonymity. And I've been trying to get that across to a lot of people. There's much more power in it.
Yeah.
I'm hearing some feedback somewhere. Vince? Okay. But, no, I think you did a grand job. I know Jay Lederman's on the line. Vince, he's waiting to be brought on because he missed it the other week. Yep, Jay's here with us, Brian.
Cool.
So, Vince?
Did we lose you, Vince? Are you there?
He's probably Patriot Greg.
No, I'm not Patriot Greg. I was muted again. I was screening. I talked to Jay. I was talking to Jay. So, yeah, we're going to bring him on right now, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, that's what we were asking for.
Yeah,
sure.
We're now joined by Jay Lederman. Welcome, Jay.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hey, good to hear from you. I'm doing great, thanks.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Jay? What do you think of the film?
I'm sorry, you're cutting in and out. I couldn't hear.
Cutting in and out a little bit for me, too. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I heard that. All good?
No, it's Vince's side.
Patriot Greg.
All right, Patriot Greg.
I don't know if you can hear me, but I was going to say,
no, right? No, well, I can't hear you, Vince, but, you know, in the interim, I can ask a question. It's not for Brian, though, it's for Barry. Hey, Opno Pro, what are you wearing?
I said, what are you wearing? I'm wearing no underwear, which I have on my head, and my pants and a shirt.
I kind of remember the no pants.
I never stood up in front of the camera for you, but usually I'm in my smoking robe.
Great.
I saw you handling one of the new LulzSec guys.
Yeah. Brian, I was with Brian yesterday on that. We actually introduced pretty quickly and are gonna gonna try to work that out at sentencing. Gonna look to get him something reasonable.
Right.
On that. Yes, you're right. It's Mr. Rivera who is accused of participating only in the Sony hack. They claim it's no longer they claim it's no longer they claimed. It's I suppose now factually he's Neuron from Walsbeck.
And I think he pleaded guilty to it today. Or yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning.
Which was mathematically November, October, so it was 10, 11, 12. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Only 3 more years will line up like that. Until 2023. I was thinking about that. Important stuff when you're in anonymous, you know? So, Brian, do you plan on doing a version 2 or expanded version?
You know, it's tough to, as everybody knows at this point, I've been changing this film as things transpire. Which has been interesting and unusual for me. Usually, you finish a film and you're done with it. But this one, big things happened, and I felt like I had to go back in and change it. There are other things that I'm interested in that I feel like I want to keep kind of exploring this similar territory. I don't know exactly how that's going to pan out yet or what that's going to be, but. We are kind of looking into some, more specific kind of cases, within the last year and a half or so.
Okay. If you want to go back to Heroes of the Computer Revolution, get a hold of me.
Okay.
And go backwards instead of forward,
Right. I had three at a, we did a screening in Palo Alto for the Palo Alto Film Fest. This was last weekend. And three guys from Cult of the Dead Cow showed up. And it was great. They came on stage afterwards, and I just asked them questions about how I do think that they're kind of a predecessor to some of the things Anonymous does. I just asked them questions about what they think. How does Anonymous relate to what they were doing in the '90s and things like that? It's pretty great. I like the history of it a lot.
Yeah. Mitch Kapoor was one of them, and I know how much you like EFF.
Right. Yeah, Mitch. Plus, Omega showed up, who actually coined the term hacktivism. He's actually the guy.
I noticed that. I saw that in your timeline today.
Yeah. He showed up at one of our screenings last week, which was great. A lot of fun.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's great. Shout out to Stinko the Clown and Mary Mad.
Speaking of Stinko the Clown, we're going to bring him on as well. Stinko, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Stinko.
What's going on?
Vince is breaking all up over the
topic. You're Patriot Greg.
Yeah, it's the topic. It's
Patriot
really got
Greg.
Emotional.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'll probably just call in. I'm having some technical difficulties. I think I might be somebody might be DDoSing me right now.
Probably. Is that Goofy Bone trying to sabotage your election, your candidate?
Yeah, definitely the work of Goofy Bone. I've been.
We'll run it for 5 minutes for you.
Yeah, you guys
Yeah, you can trust us. We know how to run it.
Yeah, no problem.
We've done it before. We've got Trip with us and everything, you know, Bert.
The biggest question I have for Brian though is how hard was it to keep interviewing Aaron Barr?
Wait, what did you say?
How hard was it to keep a straight face while interviewing Aaron Barr?
You know, it's fun. Aaron is interesting. I mean, you know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I give him huge props for appearing in the film and for sitting down and talking to me and all that. I think the thing about Aaron is like, you know, some things he says really fall into the category of being, well, like, okay, I get that. That's, you know, that's fine. And other things he says, it's like, well, I may strongly disagree with you, but you're entitled to your opinion. And yet other things he says kind of go off the deep end. And there's no doubt cross into some questionable territory in my mind. So that's my kind of take on it. I, as a journalist, you know, maybe I'm slightly biased because one of those things is that attack on Glenn Greenwald, right? That discussion of attacking a journalist there's a line that's I think it's in the new version of the film that we put from one of his emails that says, that people when pressed will choose professional preservation over cause. And it's just a line that just like sends chills down my spine because it's like, well, what, you know, they're putting pressure on a journalist in some way that will make them, you know, that make him kind of come into line and choose professional preservation over the cause that he believes in. And it's just there's territory like that that's questionable, you know, but I think that we, you know, when you talk, a lot of times there's a lot going on in the security community that the sort of average person doesn't know about. The average person, meaning, you know, maybe non-anonymous. I mean, anonymous seems aware of these things, but by and large. But those things, you know, are terrifying when you hear about them. You know, these kinds of pressures that can be put on people sort of covertly.
I was just curious on if it was hard to keep a straight face. I gotta say, I'll give him a little credit for doing the interview, but you know, it's probably because you're one of the only people that'll talk to him at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if his point is just, you know, that he doesn't like WikiLeaks, then. Okay, fine. You know, I don't necessarily agree with that, but of course, but you know, he's entitled to that opinion. But if they are working in these kind of covert ways behind the scenes and doing these kinds of things that are unethical or that are at least worth discussing,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I think that's the point. Is it's one thing to be outspoken against an entity like WikiLeaks. You have to expect that. It's when you try all these back alley ways to eliminate them instead of trying to expose, quote unquote, expose them, you know, or whatever. I think that's where the problem is these days. Is it's not just about coming out and saying, oh, well, what these people are doing isn't right. It's not only are they coming out and saying that, but then they try to, you know, cut off finances to them or do all these other things and attack them. And that just can't happen, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's, you know, I mean, essentially I'm a, you know, freedom of speech activist, right? Or I think of myself at least, you know, I tend to feel like, look, all speech should kind of just be out there, you know, with – you know, I understand, you know, there's this issue of the innocence of the Muslims that came up recently, right? Where people have made the case that, you know, that really awful and ridiculous, really truly shitty film, right? The it was intended to
in rage and did and may and caused some deaths, and that maybe that should be restricted. And I think that's, you know, look, it's tragic what happened. And, you know, there's the old famous kind of restriction to freedom of speech that says, well, you can't yell fire in a crowded room, right? In other words, it can't be with the sole intention to hurt somebody. But, you know, I don't see that. If, you know, criticizing a religion, you know, we live in an internet age where these things are going to reach people. And that's just kind of how it is. And,
yeah,
and you can't start carving that away. You can't start saying that part of that, you know, part of that is not allowed.
Somebody's getting arrested.
Yeah, it's actually, I know. It's actually a fire engine right outside my window.
I just want you to think it is, bro. You're about to go to jail, man.
I'm not gonna bear
Brian,
a brown eye.
Brian, call me when your van. We'll come down and get you out.
As I say, at least we have Jay on the line. But no,
exactly.
I agree wholeheartedly that, you know, you can't tell these people they can't make that movie. That movie was trash. You know, that's the other side of freedom of speech. Is, well, they have the freedom of speech to make this movie. You know, we curtail their rights to do that. As free speech advocates or activists or however you want to put it, we have a right to come out and publicly and vehemently denounce this movie. And not censor it, not force it offline, but make it so that way people understand that nobody supports this movie. I mean, it was, you know, in the days after the embassy bombing, it was found that the actors didn't even support this movie. You know, that they were lied to about the project and stuff. And it was, you know, it's tragic that people died over this and that it probably did more harm than good, you know, people's reactions. But at the same time, you just can't – if you say that this isn't okay, then what's to stop them from saying that your movie isn't okay because it might inspire people to DDoS a website?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I think you have to err on the side of more speech. But look, I understand that that video is interesting in some ways because it's such an extreme example, right? I mean, it really offended people. And people actually died as a result of this kind of uprising. But in a way, this is a very kind of technology story because, you know, the internet is now reaching people, including with language that offends them, that didn't hear that before. So, but again, you can't go backwards with these things.
I personally think the only grounds for removing that video, you know, or for quote unquote censoring that video is the fact that the people who were involved in the process of making it were misled about what it was, the actors and stuff. And
yeah.
I think on those grounds they should have some kind of legal right to sue for that movie to not be released.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there is or not. You know, I don't know. I'm obviously not a lawyer. Hell, I can barely tweet. But I think they should have some kind of, it's not legal, some kind of moral bounds to be able to say, hey guys, you know, this isn't what we were told we were doing. We don't approve of this. Either take us out and redo those parts, or don't release the movie.
Yeah.
Hey guys. I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I Patriot Gregging?
No, not yet.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Fantastic. Okay. I want to bring on more callers. We have Ms. Becker with us now. Ms. Becker, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Do you have any questions for Brian?
You didn't give me any warning. You didn't scream me or anything. Hey, Brian. I saw your movie in Pasadena, I think, in March. I loved
oh,
it.
Cool.
I
nice.
Loved it. I think you were there on a panel, right?
What's that?
Yeah, I think you were there on a panel.
Wait, in Pasadena?
Yeah, at some sort of public radio in Southern California.
Oh, right, KPCC, that's right. That was a really early screening. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. I only have really one question, because I'm a law student, so I'm all interested about the legal stuff. So maybe if Jay's still on the line, he can answer this.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey. Does anyone know the exact statute that they're sentencing, or not sentencing, that they're charging these guys on, and the legislative intent for that statute?
Is Jay still on? Jay is great with this.
Yeah.
I can stumble with it. He's like Mozart with this.
Yeah. Lauren, it's 18 U.S.C. 1030.
18 U.S.C. 1030. All right.
And if you're asking me about the legislative intent, seriously, shoot me an email and I'll shoot you the prosecution manual on it. You can read all up on 1030. Or honestly, you can come to Pasadena tomorrow. Me and Grania O'Neill and Amber Lyon are doing a panel on anonymous prosecution at the NLG conference.
Wow. Okay. I'll email you. Give me all that info.
Yeah. Does somebody have their computer on in the background, or is that just me? Does it sound like there's? I can get an echo from somebody.
I'm on headphones.
I'm outside.
Okay. No.
Hang
on.
I'm hearing like a.
Is anybody else hearing an echo?
Yeah, I am.
I am, Vince.
Can you hear me now? I just switched something out. I don't think it's me, but can you hear me?
No, Brian, it sounded good from the beginning. I'm still hearing it. Is it Sicko? Hello? 10-1-2? No, no. I'm still hearing a little something here. Let's try No Pro. Hello, hello? Hello, hello, hello? Hello? Let me mute this. Oh, I think I know who the culprit is. Hello, hello, hello. I think that's better. Is that better, everybody?
Sounds better to me.
Okay. Hey, folks. You got Brian, the filmmaker from the being
no.
World Champion. What?
You're breaking all up again.
Yeah,
man.
Your pitch. It's you, bro.
It's been.
All right,
leave it to the host. See, guys, this is the kind of stress that that presidential can put on people.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, while we're talking about it, everybody go out and vote for him right now. Probably never going to catch Goofy, but he cheated, so this way when Vince wins all the other ones, he can file a like a Bush v. Gore type thing, and, you know, we can settle this in the courts.
Right on.
How do you want to send somebody?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, you seem pretty clean.
Okay, this is, I'm going low tech here. I'm going on my cell phone. Anyhoots, good to have you guys here. We got tons of more callers. I want to bring some more people on. We now have X Knight here on the line. X Knight, what's going on? Do you have a question for Brian or anybody else on the panel?
Actually, yes. Brian, I did see a little bit of the movie because I'm sure you by now know that a lot of it actually ended up on YouTube for a while.
Yeah, that old version, yeah.
Well, I did see the old version. What I seen, I did like. Back when, actually before Anonops was started, right before then, there was a time period where they were on a IRC network called Chat and Play, where I just happened to randomly be an opera at for a while. And, while they were there, the whole network was getting DDoS, and my server actually fell victim to a lot of it. But after all that, they actually moved over to Anonop and started the whole Operation Payback with MasterCard, Visa, PayPal. And I gotta admit, at that point, I actually started to kind of... I certainly stayed anonymous. I didn't like some of the actions that they were carrying out with the DDoS attacks. I didn't I didn't see where they were really making any difference that. And, with Operation Tunisia with Egypt, I could actually kind of back a lot of what they were doing up, I could back up a lot of the things they were doing there, but I couldn't really back up the DDoS attacks and all the hacking that came along. But from what I've seen in your movie, it really did bring a good light to what was going on before all that started going down.
Yeah.
It really kind of restored my
good, faith. Good. So you have, you want to ask Ryan or you?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, if you don't mind me just asking, what was it about? You didn't like the PayPal DDoS?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
No,
I felt it was really messing with a lot of people that use the service from actually making the transactions that they need to make. For the services that they get.
Okay, but up from those lines, when Occupy goes outside of a bank on a Friday night and shuts it down from 4 to 6 p.m., there's a lot of people who are wanting to cash their paychecks. But that's legit, so why would not be taking down PayPal?
You know, I mean, for one, it affects people who aren't really the enemy here. It affects
so
people
protest.
Who are actually...
So do protests. You know, the person going to try to cash their check on payday who shows up at the bank at 4:30 and the bank's closed for the day because there's a protest outside and can't cash their check that day, that's the enemy. But we still do it because that's what a protest is. Sometimes protests are inconvenient for people. That's part of their power. It's no different than people getting stuck in traffic behind a protest for an hour. You know, I get that it's an inconvenience, but it sometimes is necessary to inconvenience people.
You know, the thing with that though is they could always go use a different bank. Nobody could possibly, I shouldn't say not possible, but it's not very probable that they're going to be occupying every bank in the city. I'm sure there's somewhere they can go and make that withdrawal that they need to make. With PayPal, I mean, you're affecting businesses, you're affecting customers, you're affecting people who are trying to transfer money to one another online. Now, great, I can see you want to get back at the corporation, but I don't think by affecting its customers like that was really a good way to go about it.
To me, it seemed pretty successful. Afterwards, there was a lot of support that poured into Anonymous. I didn't, you know, of course, I'm not going to, you know, I wasn't involved in any of it, but, you know, you didn't see a whole huge public backlash against, oh, well, why are these people doing it? And generally, when something like that, happens and people are inconvenienced, it makes them question why they're inconvenienced. The Sony hack is a perfect example of that. When the PlayStation Network went down, you had a lot of people who played PlayStation who were mad. But they because of it going down, they learned who Anonymous was. And I personally know a lot of people who are involved in the Anonymous world now because the PlayStation Network went down for 3 months.
Hey, Jay, you had something you wanted to interject?
I did. I mean, there was a talk about the customers and service and all of that. And the question is this: what about customers that all they wanted to do was take up their bandwidth to make a donation to WikiLeaks that weren't allowed to do that? Though they could have done it for the KKK, they weren't allowed to do it for WikiLeaks.
And that was the
PayPal issue,
Jay.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, exactly. So, you know, if the speech of those customers, but all they wanted to do was use the service just like anyone else for the reasons that everyone else used it, you know, there's a balancing there. And, you know, when you look to protest, you look to, you know, time, place, and manner. And really it didn't take it down or slow it down really for very long. it was sort of reasonable in terms of its scope, in terms of the duration it lasted, in terms of the manner it encompassed. And really, you know, that's the essence of protest. I mean, you know, for the first time in a long time, globally, this was a real protest with PayPal, and it was a real effective protest because it fit all of the classic things. You know, even though it was applied to a new medium, the internet, everything was classic about it. And all it was people saying, you know what, I want the same service as everyone else. That's it.
Yeah, Jay, you and I were talking about this yesterday, compare this to the Woolworth sit-in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me and you know, to a lot of us that have been defending this and you know, many of the defendants, they use that analogy. And it's, you know, when you think of the Greensboro boys and taking up the Woolworth lunch counter, you know, all they wanted to do in the late 50s and the early 60s was go into Woolworths, order, have their lunch, pay for it, you know, eat it, pay for it, and leave. And because they couldn't do that, they just sat there. And that's, you know, to me, this DDoS was no different than that. All it was taking up bandwidth for, you know, it was just a request for service. It wasn't even, you know, DDoS is obviously a denial of service, but it really wasn't even, in my mind, like a denial of service. It was just a request for service made in a different manner. And that's where I stand with it.
Right on. We got more calls to take on here. I've got Anani Odin, who's been waiting patiently. I think he has a question for Brian. Go ahead, Anani Odin.
Hi. Yes. My only question for the director of We Are Legion is just really very simple. How does he see himself in a network, be that a social, computer, or other network?
How do I see myself in a network?
Yes.
I don't know. I guess I don't really understand what you mean by that question.
Think of yourself in a network, any kind of network. It could be a large web of various nodes and connections, and a computer network, or it could be a large span of people in an interconnected span of personal relationships. How do you see yourself in a network? What is your role in a network of persons or computers or whatever?
Usually my personal kind of role.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think this gets at what your question is. I'm a chronicler of things. I'm someone who's observing and trying to analyze. I think there's a storyteller. Does that answer your question?
Sure. Could you go further into detail about that?
Just a journalist, you know. I think that things are happening, you know, quickly with Anonymous, and I think that this is a very important phenomenon that's happening that's very new. And I think it's pretty rare in the human experience to have something that's completely new. And so I'd say my job is to kind of figure out what the hell it is, or at least take a shot at it. It's tough to trying to get a big picture of Anonymous is tough because it's so many things, and it tends to tie journalists and people like me into knots of caveats, right? It's this, but it's not. It's also this. It's that, but it's not quite that. It's not always that. So I guess my job and what I saw myself doing is just trying to get a sense of this big picture phenomenon that I think is something, like I said, very new in the human experience.
All right, we got another call here. I think this might be Vert. Vert, is that you? Caller, you've been on hold. Caller, is that you?
I think so.
Hey, Vert, you have something you want to ask Brian or anybody else on the panel?
Not really asked, but Brian, I'm sorry I refused your call, like, way back in the day.
No worries.
I told you it should have taken it. Yeah, We Are Legion freaking rocks, dude. I will buy the heck out of that when it comes out.
Thank you. We need all the support we can get.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, keep on rocking.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Right on. Appreciate the call, bro. I was Vert, and I think we're going to take another little break here and hear another clip from the movie. This is going to be a clip about, maybe you can set this up a little bit, Brian. It's the clip where the guys are describing the difference between black hats and white hats.
Oh, yeah. This is actually, I put this in because I just thought it was really, really interesting. And this actually didn't make the final cut of the movie.
This is an outtake.
This is actually an outtake, yeah.
Right on.
You know, basically, it was just really interesting. A collection of people, some of them are hackers, some of them are reporters. Ryan Singel from Wired, but let's see, is Moxie in this? No, I don't think so. But, you know, a group of people, you know, just talking about the difference between white hat and black hat and how nobody quite fits into that either one of those categories. And a clip, a very funny clip, if I'm not mistaken, that we found where hacker group The Loft, which is kind of connected to the Cult of the Dead Cow, was asked to appear in front of Congress, a congressional committee, to talk about issues of the internet, basically. And they were allowed to use, what was really funny about it, is they were allowed to use their hacker names. And it's one of the only times in history where this was allowed, where people were testified in front of Congress and didn't use their real names. And in fact, some of those guys told me later, they said, you know, they had to do some kind of weird thing where they had to pay John Glenn, right, who's also one of the questioners here, former astronaut, is one of the questioners here. They had to pay, like the government had to pay him and he had to pay them in cash or something because they each got like $100 to do this. And yet the government didn't have the mechanism to do it without their real name. So there's some weird story where they had to, they're like the only people to get paid like cash under the table and not use their names to appear in front of Congress. And one of the big headlines of their testimony was that they said that they could take down the internet in 20 minutes, the entire internet. And Fred Thompson, right, who went on to be
a fantabulous actor, a great actor, by the way.
Yeah, and politician, I guess, you know, he ran for president, and a Law and Order fame. He is like incredulous. So this is black hats and white hats and what all that means with this found clip from The Loft.
All right, here it is.
Hacking can be, like all activities in human life, legal or illegal, but in fact, it's usually blurred.
There's all sorts of hats in hacker culture, right? So there's the white hats, and those are the good guys, right? And so a white hat hacker would be someone who, you know, kind of probed the computer system of a big company. If they found a hole, they wouldn't go very far through it, and then they would contact the company and, you know, give the company time to fix it. And then there's just the black hats. And the black hats generally are people these days who are trying to steal credit cards or break into your PayPal account or get into your email account. You know, the end game is just money.
The black hats are people that break into systems. When we started doing this, just looking at researching software and uncovering vulnerabilities and publishing tools that let people hack into systems using those vulnerabilities, people tried to label us as black hats and said, well, wait a minute, we're not breaking into systems. We're not like these guys. You can use these tools for good or you can use them for bad. We think you white hat people should use our tools to figure out what systems have the vulnerabilities. But, of course, they didn't do that. So we had to come up with this new term, and we coined the term at The Loft called gray hat because we didn't want to wear a black or a white hat.
All hackers are gray hat hackers. People who present themselves as white hat hackers are gray hat hackers who are simply fudging the truth.
We got invited to speak at the Senate in 1998. The thing that was really exciting for us was they reached out to, you know, hackers. They reached out to us. They let us testify, you know, using our hacker names.
They'll be using their hacker names of Mudge, Weld, Brian Oblivion, Kingpin, Space Rogue, Tan, and Stefan.
One of my colleagues, Mudge, had been doing research on how the different parts of the internet connect to each other, how, you know, Sprint connects to AT&T, and found a vulnerability in the way that the major interconnection points between the big network providers, he found a vulnerability where he could sever those connections. And so I think he really scared them when he said, you know, we could take down the internet in 30 minutes.
I'm informed that you think that within 30 minutes, the seven of you could make the internet unusable for the entire nation. Is that correct?
That's correct. Actually, one of us with just a few packets. We've told a few agencies about this. It's kind of funny because we think that this is something that the various government agencies should be actively going after. We know the Department of Defense just did a very large investigation into what's known as denial of service attacks against the infrastructure. In our various day jobs, we contributed a large portion of the information to that actual investigation. Much to our chagrin, the learnings from it were instantly classified, which we were giving them largely public information.
There was a few people in the back of the room from the NSA that came up afterwards and like, you got to tell us about this. And of course we did.
I look at you guys as the white hats in this whole thing. Yeah, I think your motivation, as far as I know, is excellent.
In the bay.
Don't quit your day job. Yarray
me! Mentre la multinazionale Thomson si è impadronita di tutti I brevetti della DPL e la ricerca ufficiale sembra si sia concentrata su applicazioni industriali di scarso interesse sociale e comunicativo, il sogno dei pionieri delle realtà virtuali perché queste siano condivise da più persone ed economicamente accessibili a tutti sembra allontanarsi. Ma la sperimentazione indipendente non si è fermata e oggi, grazie ad alcuni geniali creativi, è possibile accedere a dei sistemi di realtà virtuale a basso costo e condivisibili. Parliamo di Rentro 86, insegnare un
fighters are really something else.
Flawless victory. Friendship.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vince in the Bay.
What a silly Negro.
Oh, yeah. We got a half hour to go.
Your pager ringing again.
God damn it. Hang on a second.
I apologize, Greg. Guys. Vince usually isn't this much fail.
Patriot Greg.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Anywho, I think I'm under siege right now. See, every time I do a topic on Anonymous, wacky things start happening, so I don't know what it is. If you notice in the chat room, which I'm really stoked to have all these people in the chat room, but don't mind this Jewish producer guy, which thankfully he left. But he's trying to run propaganda for his presidential campaign, so he's trying to put out a smear campaign on me, so whatever. Anyway, we're back with a non-sicko, Brian, from the director of the film We Are Legion, And I think we're going to be joined by Anani Bear. Speaking of Anonymous, we have another member of Anonymous that's supposed to be joining us. Op Anani Bear, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Anani Bear, what's going on? Do you have a question for Brian?
I've had a few drinks, so I'm a little posh right now.
What the hell? Anani Bear is an alcoholic. I apologize, but
well, everybody knows hacking's funner when you're drunk.
Yeah, it's more.
So Anani Bear is basically drug dialing the show. But Anani Bear, what do you have to say?
I just want to thank Brian because he showed a more snuggly side of Anonymous. No one ever thinks about the more snuggly side of Anonymous. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's quite a review of my film.
You put that on the poster.
Hey, Brian, I was going to ask you, it seems like Anonymous is sort of like an ongoing saga, and you can sort of just hop on and off of it at any point in time, and it feels like your film, you know, sort of encapsulates a certain period of time. What's your follow-up going to be? Are you considering expanding this, or are you going to go on to a totally different subject matter?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It just keeps going on and on. In fact, that's one of the craziest things about making this film is just kept feeling like I wanted to make, you know, change it and update it. You know, I've pretty much decided that this film is, you know, is a chapter, right? It's a chapter in Anonymous history. Anonymous will continue to evolve and become different things and do different things and you know, having been at one point just thinking that Anonymous would only be a Scientology protest group. I'm careful not to like make, you know, wild predictions about it. But I've decided this film is like, it's a chapter. It's a really intense chapter of Anonymous history, but you know, where it goes from here, we'll see. The new stuff I'm working on, I'm looking into LulzSec a little deeper. And does that kind of, what was going on there.
Hey, I think we have Crappy Airbags with us right now. I know he wants to ask you something. Crappy Airbags, are you there?
Hey, this is Agent Sabu.
Bags, what's going on, brother?
What's up?
Hey, Crappy.
Hey, Bags.
How's it going?
I followed you
better
for a long
now
time.
That you're here.
You're fine.
I'm planning on going up to New York City. I think I can see We Are Legion on the 19th up there, right?
Good, yeah. 9:40 is going to be the big screening there. We're going to try to get a bunch of people up on stage after.
Sweet. Where is it?
It's at the Quad, Cinema.
Cool.
Yeah.
Next Friday, right?
Yeah, next Friday. I'm flying out there for that, and then I'm going to fly back for a Sunday screening in Pasadena at the Lemley Pasadena Playhouse at 3 o'clock. So,
awesome.
L.A. and New York on the 19th, and then it goes for a week. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Cool. Yeah, come say hi.
And that's all I got, Vince.
Hey, I appreciate you staying up for once.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, he's got a good point. We've been doing a lot of shows lately, and it's been you haven't been on a single one of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got this dick growing out of the back of my neck now, and everybody in the world wants a fucking piggyback ride.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm going to get it lasered off tomorrow. I think they hit it with some liquid nitrogen and then laser it off, kind of like a big wart.
Yeah. hopefully you get some meds out of that. What is it?
Like a unicorn running backwards?
Yeah, really. That's pretty close.
Okay.
Oprah, you must have been there. Part of that.
No, I think they had some girlfriend once.
On the topic of Weird Legion, somebody mentioned the version that's online right now. I don't think it's like been clarified that version's a pretty old version. I know that that was an older version than what I saw at the Sausalito Film Festival back during the summer, and I want to say I heard that the version that you're releasing, you know, on DVD and stuff has been updated since that. So we're talking that's two or three versions ago, guys. So don't think because you've seen the version on YouTube that you've seen the final version. You have to support it when it comes out at the end of the month.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. It is a painfully old version. I think you,
even though I'm all over the cutting floor, God damn it.
Sorry. but that YouTube version is, as a filmmaker, you know, it's painful. It's a very old version. And I think Sicko, that was you talking, right? I think, you know, that version is that you saw is significantly updated, but I don't even think maybe the version you saw had, you know, more recent stuff with like Sabu and Quinn and there's probably another three or four interviews reworked. I mean, it's a much different film now. I think that version is wildly incomplete.
Yeah, I just felt I wanted to clarify that because there's people I know for a fact I've talked to people who still, even after I tried to explain it, don't understand that. They're like, no, I saw it, the updated version, the one that just got leaked. And no, the full version isn't out yet. It hasn't been leaked. Please support it when it comes out because, Brian, I mean, you did amazing work, you know. You fairly represented Anonymous when, I mean, to be fair, there's probably only a handful of people who, in any kind of media, give a fair representation of Anonymous. And by that I mean aren't afraid to mention some of the bad things. You know, you mentioned, like, the hack on the epilepsy board and stuff. So. I don't like when people like to skip over them and only talk about the great aspects of Anonymous. I think you have to talk about both sides, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I feel like I'm just trying to, you know, look at it, witness, and try to tell the story of this kind of culture and phenomenon, really. But yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know, this documentary. I know everybody out there has read Bella Coleman's work and, you know, and stuff like that, and her write ups on Anonymous, and everybody, you know. Most people I know will say that as far as journalists go, she writes the best reports on Anonymous, and this documentary is right up there with her work. So,
well, cool. Thanks. Man. Yeah, I agree. She's one of the great, I think, thinkers of she's an anthropologist, and I think I just think she's great. I like the time and energy she's put into it. I like the effort she's put into trying to meet people and figure it out. And, you know, you always see her in IRC and everything like that. I also really am a big fan of Quinn's work, too.
That was the next name I was about to mention is Quinn Norton.
Yeah.
Quinn Norton does a lot of great work, too. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they're both ladies. And you get the fairest representation of Anonymous through their eyes. Like, because on the outside, you know, you look at the Anonymous world and it looks like this misogynistic, homophobic, you know, racist world, and it's not. It really isn't, you know. And so I think it speaks volumes when women like Quinn Norton and Bella Coleman are the people who are the go-to authorities on Anonymous in the media, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
Quinn Norton a guy or a girl?
Quinn Norton is a girl.
Girl.
That's a chick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Hey, if anybody else wants to call, we got 20 minutes left. 347-826-7667. I was talking earlier about running into Brian outside of the courthouse there, and I have I have a clip here of some of that footage that you shot with Stanley Cohen. So I'm going to play that clip right now. We're going to come. Do you want to set this up real quick?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, let me say I'm surprised I just now learned that I met you there, which actually happens a lot in making this film. I realize I've met people long after I've met them, which is got to be unique to this film. But there's also Vince. I think I'm safe to say this. You actually are in the film. I learned this after the fact. And I was completely surprised by this. I had no idea. And I don't think I was filming that day. I think we had a friend of mine was filming for us, and you actually play a role. I mean, I will say you're not one of the interviews, right? But
no.
You do play a pretty key role in the film, actually.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. That was quite a pleasant surprise to see that. I found out via Twitter, of course.
Where's Vince?
Yeah, that was fun. That was. I got a kick out of that. I really felt, it seems like you shot a lot of the footage around that time, like last year, when all that stuff was popping off, and a lot of it was centered around the Bay Area. And I was kind of following it, you know, just as a casual observer and, quasi-participant. And it was fun. Those were that last year, 2000. This I call it the summer of lulls. 2011 was just kind of like the peak of this whole activism / hacktivism thing. And it was quite exciting to be around in those days in the Bay Area, because the Bay Area was certainly sort of played like a physical nexus for a lot of a lot of those operations that were going off.
I think peak
I totally
the wrong
agree,
word
yeah.
there though, Vince, because peak implies that it's on its way down now, and I don't think hacktivism or and cyber activism and all that is on its downslide now. I think it's just the culmination of all these elements coming together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, I don't think it's going away, but there was something really the energy at that time was really intense, and I think part of it we shot a lot of that up in the Bay Area because I'm in LA, so I was up there a lot, and it was just a really interesting time, right around that Op Bart time, and then how that sort of it's funny because Op Bart kind of trailed off a little bit. Like you start getting like smaller, a little bit of activity, and then suddenly, Occupy comes in with this as a tsunami almost.
Off-Bart is where I got my start and like participating in ops and stuff. And Op-Bart was like, in my opinion, that was kind of like a ground training for Occupy.
Exactly.
We learned how to stream. We learned how to get words, to get the word out. We learned how to watch police, listen to scanners and listen to police movements and stuff. And I think everything we learned from Op Bart was then turned around and used for Occupy. And without Op Bart, the tactics in the very beginning of Occupy would have been they wouldn't have been around. And I think things might have gotten bad.
Yeah, I agree. It's really interesting. Again, I'm observing all this stuff and just think it's really just interesting, fascinating kind of the way all that kind of went down. Op Bart is very interesting.
All right, so we're going to play this clip of Stanley Cohen and then come back and take our calls.
I got on a tangent, sorry.
What's that?
I got on a tangent.
We got off on a total tangent. It's all right. But, yeah, so that was the elongated version of the setup for this clip. We'll be right back.
The theory of the case is they were,
They flooded, quote unquote, a number of people flooded access to PayPal, thereby creating economic distress to a protected corporation. End of story. This is not a case involving identity theft, involving outing emails, involving violating privilege, involving theft of services, involving, you know, shutting down business. It is a pure case of internet or cyber sit-ins. It is a pure case of First Amendment activity, even assuming what was said did in fact occur. When Barack Obama gets on TV and makes a speech to America and urges Americans to flood the congressional, you know, flood those hotlines and flood the congressional call lines and flood those computers, that's not a crime. That's participating in the government. When they urge people to make calls by the thousands and the tens of thousands to participate, that's being a good American. When people allegedly send a message to PayPal that, you know, we don't like you, this is not good what you're doing, they didn't take anything, they didn't create any harm, they didn't cause any distress, it becomes a federal offense. Even if you accept what the government is saying is true, what is important is that people are participating in the process. It is very much the process. It is sitting in an encounter in Selma, Alabama, 500 Freedom Riders refusing to allow people to go and sit in at a segregated lunch counter. They write books about that stuff. It is demonstrating in a street corner saying no to a war. It's just a different, it's just a different vehicle.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay.
Let's stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vince in the Bay.
Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating
Stop hating in the Bay, yo.
Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play.
That's right. Shouts out to the Oakland A's. Their glorious season finally came to a dramatic end last night, or anticlimactic, however you want to put it. But shouts out to the A's representing the Bay. Now it's just the Giants representing the Bay. So whatever. I'm Vince in the Bay, and we got 11 minutes to go. I got a huge panel tonight, and our special guest is Brian, the director of We Are Legion, and I have 10 more minutes to take calls. And it looks like we got somebody here. Unscreened caller, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello? Caller? Is this on? Can anybody hear me? Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear everybody. Let me try this. Unmuting this caller again. Caller, you are on the air. You just called in. You've been on hold for a while. Your area code is 904. Who's there? No? Maybe unmute yourself on your end. Caller, hello? Oh, well. Well, we got 10 minutes here. We got a huge, huge lineup here. I'm really grateful to have everybody call in and participate tonight, especially Brian. Thank you for coming out.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what I think we should do is start going around the horn here. Anybody that's let's see, Jay, do you have anything you wanna add about the film or anything else otherwise?
Well, the film's amazing. I saw it. I was lucky enough to be there at DEF CON this year, and I not only did I see it, but Brian was kind enough to invite me up for a panel. I was you know, I was the only one not in the film on the panel, and invariably I was the one that questions were asked. I, you know, which was just hilarious. But that was fun, and you know, it is for those that haven't seen it, that have been good enough to kind of wait and hold off on the internet version. You're really in for a special treat, because this is more than just the average documentary. This is really, you know, both a work of art and something that's going to make you, you know, think kind of politically and sociologically. And, you know, quite plainly, it's going to make you laugh. I was telling Brian yesterday that, you know, after, not to ramble on about it, but last Friday, I went and I was in downtown LA, and I went and talked to Brian for what was supposed to be just a little bit, and
yeah,
just
right.
a little bit turned into an hour, turned into two, and turned into
right.
about two and a half, and it, you know, all of a sudden I was in trouble because I wasn't home, you know, to kind of smooth things over, we went and busted out YouTube and. You know, I showed my wife a bit of it, and, you know, she really wouldn't, I think, ordinarily be that interested. And, you know, she was just fascinated by it. Not because this is something that interests me or, you know, we were doing something together, but because literally the film is very compelling. It's very engaging. It's very, you know, it's very light at moments and very funny, and it's very serious at moments. And, you know, I really hope this is something that a lot of people see, because it's something that people need to see.
Excellent. Let's see, Opnopro, anything you'd like to add before we head out of here?
Yeah, Brian, if there's anything you wanted to remove, because you're just sorry that it's in it, and even at this point, what would it be?
You mean take out of the film?
Yep.
I don't know. It's hard. Because as we've added stuff, we've had to shave here and there, and it's always been tough. But, you know, I don't think anything. I mean, if anything, you know, I always feel like I want to add, you know, add other stuff. But I feel at this point we've done as good a job as we can at picking the right sort of selection of raids and activity. To get as good a picture as we can as of the whole thing.
So you're finally comfortable with the look and feel and everything.
I finally am. Yeah. I think it is. I mean, there's
good.
A lot of, you know, it's like things like you know, the stuff has happened, you know, since then, and I don't think, and I don't miss that it's not in there. Let's put it that way. I feel like now,
right.
you know, big things will happen in the future, but this film is. Is this chapter of this history of a really really intense phenomenon, modern phenomenon. So, you know, this is chapter, and I hope that people will. I'm glad to hear what Jay's saying, because you know, part of my mission has always been to kind of make this available for people that beyond the converted. Like I hope people that. You know, that maybe have seen the kind of old terrible version, and like it, get the word out for other people to see it, because I do think that anybody can see this film, and I hope that people, you know, beyond the converted see it.
That's beautiful.
Right on, Ms. Becker. Would you like to add anything before we sign off here?
Not really. I just want to invite everyone to take a look at my blog. I recently did a sort of a legal analysis on the Barrett Brown situation and free speech, and sort of an interesting little gender theory blog as well. And that's linked on my Twitter, Miss Becker, or you can go to thechaosinorder.weebly.com.
Cool.
Very well then. Sicko, any final thoughts or words or prayers?
Just if you get the chance to go see this movie in the theaters, go see it. It's surreal watching it on the big screen. I was lucky enough that Brian was answering questions afterwards, and I got to hear
people who were in at the Sausalito Film Festival who absolutely were not typical activists or a non-type. You know, they were film critics and stuff, get to ask questions about Anonymous and cyber activism and activism in general. So it's definitely a treat. It'll make you smile getting to see it on the big screen.
Yeah. Just a quick sort of thing. So we're theater starts in theaters next on October 19th in New York and LA for a week, and then on October 30th we're going it's going to appear pretty much everywhere. So it's going to be on the modern version, the new version is going to be on our website. We're doing this thing that's very similar to like the Louis C.K. style thing, where if you want to, you can buy it directly from the filmmakers, DRM free. You know, use it on any device, that kind of thing. And or you can buy it at iTunes, and there's a couple of other little online places you can buy it. So it pretty much goes everywhere on the 30th. And then, the DVD too, which we have a lot of material. There's another 22 minutes of material on the DVD that we're going to put on.
Awesome. A naughty bear, do you have any final thoughts?
Expect hugs.
Expect hugs. Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Not.
Airbags. Final thoughts. Words.
Follow me on Twitter. Crappy Airbags, because the get replay attacks don't work on Twitter anymore, and I'm going to go below 20,000 followers.
Jesus. X Knight, do you have anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
I didn't really get to say this earlier. I just wanted to thank you, Brian, for actually in your film actually getting back to the roots of Anon. It was really great seeing what I've seen. I really can't wait until it hits the theaters, and I'll definitely be buying it on the DVD for sure.
Cool.
I can't wait to see that 22. You said there was like 22 extra minutes of footage.
Yeah. Yeah, we got things a little more sort of thoughts about Sabu and all that, how that went down. I have Richard Thiem, who's the guy in the, really interesting thinker about technology and hackers. The guy that says the Philip K. Dick quote in the trailer. He talks at length about WikiLeaks. We have a couple of other scenes and stuff too that are pretty great. So
that's awesome. That'll
be worth it. Yeah.
Vert, would you like to have any parting thoughts, sir?
Pretty much the usual, except for Brian. Fucking awesome film. Obno Pro, always love. Crappy, Vince, you guys rock. And well done. Very well done.
Brian, thanks again for coming out. Do you want to give us a really quick the information about the release of the film next week and how people can get it and get in touch with the website and you?
Yeah. Well, it's the Quad in New York City and the Pasadena Playhouse, at Lemley Pasadena Playhouse in the L.A. area. Playing there for a week, three screenings a day, which is going to be great. And that is a really fun way to see a film in theaters. And then October 30th on the website, www.wearelegionthedocumentary.com. We're posting updates there as we go along, and what we've been doing, and little news stories and stuff about people in the film. So October 30th, we're going everywhere.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me all of us for the entire show. I thank all my callers, Jay, No Pro, Ms. Becker, Appa Nani Bear, Brian, of course, X Knight, Vert, Crappy Airbags, and Also, everybody in the chat room, thanks for coming out. Appreciate it, Sicko. Books of Knowledge, Beatbox Junkie, Crappy Airbags, Saiku Court, Dougie Doug, G357, Jennifer 42, Jewish producer, Kimona Monra, Lorax Live, Mary Mad, Ms. Becker, Melissa 13, Quinoga, Six Sevens, Vert, and X Knight. Wow, so much fun. I'm glad we could all share it together. I hope we can do it again soon. Looking forward to seeing the film. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but this is internet radio. What do you want? So I'm Vince of the Bay signing off. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Good night.
Sam, then I fly away with a face, Mary Ann. Even if I think they want to know my mind, but there's a place when I can make them blind.
I'm no one for them, not they can play. They can be my friends, but they always do my trade. Thanks a lot.
Nature boy, how do I sound right now? Am I Patriot Gregging?
Nature Boy.
Nope. You don't sound too bad, Vince. Sound all right.
Oh, really?
Good.
Yeah. The show's over. How do you up here?
You're kind of Patriot Greg, you know me.
Patriot Greg.
Are there any other shows on? Nobody else is on?
No, actually, we still have a few people on.
No Pro, Brian. Brian's still here, and yours truly, Nature Boy. What did you want to add to the proceedings? Oh, not much. I was just wondering if you were going to be showing up to the debate on Monday night. The debate on Monday night. Oh yeah, that. I thought it was Sunday night, right? No, it's Monday night on Desert Rose. Oh, you know, Sunday, Monday, they sound so similar. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we look for you Monday night. Instead, we had your representative who actually did a pretty good job. Yeah, that was a non-sicko. Sicko, who was on the show tonight? A non-sicko, yes. He represented me. Thank you. Is he going to be your running mate? No, apparently my running mate is Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Yeah, so I got a little advantage there. Thank you very much. That's why I don't know why I don't have much. I think I need to do a better job courting the Bible Belt. Oh, yeah. I got to do more campaigning there. I don't think they even realize that my running mate is Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't know. I got to check my schedule. I'll try to make it on Monday. If not, I'll send another representative. Maybe OpNoPro will represent me. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Sounds good. No, OpNoPro, you're not.
Not that I would mind, but I'm not available.
Oh. Very well, then. So be it.
So be it. Where are they? Balls to you!
Yeah, Free Ball Friday. There you go. Balls to you. All right, I'm gonna shut this puppy down.
Very nice. High five.
Yeah, but Nature Boy, is that all you wanted to say? Oh yeah. That's it. Shouts out to everyone who's downloading the archive and listening to the great Vince of the Bay. All right. Appreciate that, Nature Boy. As always, appreciate the call. So, I think I'm going to sign off here with some Muzak. Hey, Nature Boy. Oh, yeah. Hello? Oh, yeah. Nature Boy's still here. I think I'm going to play your song. Oh, no. Horrible. Yep. No. Too late. No, don't play it. Yeah, here it is. Jared? I was nice to you tonight. You're going to play this damn song? I can't even hear it. Is it on? Oh, there we go. Yeah. Oh! Turn this shit off. Can't you get another song? This is Vince in the Bay saying goodnight.
Good night.
Good night, Nature Boy. A 1965 radio ripoff for it. Nope. Ripoff. This is horrible treatment. You guys are going to lose in the polls and in the election. I'm going to kick your ass, Vince. Kick your ass. suck, Nature Boy!
Feel very nice.